All right, turn with me in our second reading to the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 21. Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent unto him Pashur, the son of Melchiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, saying, Inquire, I pray thee, of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, maketh war against us. If so be that the Lord will deal with us according to all his wondrous works, that he may go up from us. Then said Jeremiah unto them, Thus shall ye say to Zedekiah, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, wherewith ye fight against the king of Babylon and against the Chaldeans, which besiege you without the walls, and I will assemble them into the midst of this city. And I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. And I will smite the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast, and they shall die of a great pestilence. And afterward, saith the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his servants, and the people, and such as are left in this city, from the pestilence, from the sword, and from the famine, into the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those that seek their life. And he shall smite them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them, neither have pity, nor have mercy. And unto this people thou shalt say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He that abideth in this city shall die by the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. But he that goeth out and falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be unto him for a prey. For I have set my face against this city for evil and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. And touching the house of the king of Judah, say, Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of David, thus saith the Lord, Execute judgment in the morning, and deliver him that is spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go out like fire and burn, that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Behold, I am against thee, O inhabitant of the valley and rock of the plain, saith the Lord, which say, Who shall come down against us, or who shall enter into our habitations? But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, saith the Lord, and I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof, and it shall devour all things round about it. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. We learn something, I think, very subtle from chapter 21 here. There are a few things. Let's go ahead and set it up. Number one, this is the first time we hear about Zedekiah, aside from the very opening of the book itself, where it says that Jeremiah was a prophet during Zedekiah's reign. This is the first time we hear of King Zedekiah. Now, King Zedekiah, as you will recall, was the last. Okay? It is King Zedekiah that finally, when the city was breached by the Chaldeans, he took off in the middle of the night and went to the north and tried to escape, and they caught him trying to escape, and they accounted him not a friend but a rebel because he attempted to escape. He did not do what the prophet Jeremiah told him. And so remember what they did. They brought him to Babylon. They slew his sons before his eyes, and then they put out his eyes. This was the lot of King Zedekiah. And why? Because he refused. Because he refused to listen to the prophet Jeremiah when Jeremiah spoke to him. Now, I will grant, and let's all grant here, in Zedekiah's meager defense, that he was told something that was completely counterintuitive to his day. Right? They thought they were God's people, that they were going to remain in Jerusalem, and that the Lord would defend them no matter what. When the Lord had prophesied that it is time for this city to be destroyed because of her idolatry and Sabbath breaking. That's what the Lord had said. And he sent his prophet Jeremiah, and he gave them all that information. He told them from his own mouth, the prophet Jeremiah, that is God's mouth, Jeremiah speaking for God in the midst of the people. He told them what was coming. Now, that's where this setup goes, because in chapter 21, Zedekiah sends to Jeremiah, after these prophecies have come and come and come and come and come, and he asks Jeremiah, so, tell us whether or not the Lord will rise up and defend us against Nebuchadnezzar. After Jeremiah has prophesied over and again that they're going to be destroyed for their sins. And here's the subtle thing that we learn from this. And let's make sure we're not making use of this ourselves. Sometimes we want to ask a question over and over again until we get the answer that we wanted in the first place. Right? What's Zedekiah doing here? He's asking it, and it's as if he's giving Jeremiah one last chance to come clean and tell us what we want to hear. Now, Jeremiah has already been, as we saw last week and the weeks prior, he's already been set as that brazen wall. He is that brazen wall before them, and he cannot be moved off of the prophecy that God has put into his mouth. He's not afraid of them. He has cried out to the Lord for deliverance, but he's not afraid of them. The Lord has made promises to him that he will deliver him, although it will be difficult for him. He's going to be a brazen wall. And so that's what he's done. But Zedekiah, he takes up this part, and we can recognize this weakness in ourselves, can't we? We just want to ask that question one more time, because the person that we're asking knows what we want to hear, and if we ask it just one more time, maybe they'll tell us what we want to hear. But that would have been indeed for Jeremiah not only to shirk his position as the prophet, but also to act very unlovingly and in a very ungodly way towards Zedekiah. Excuse me. So, Zedekiah says, will the Lord do according to all his wondrous works that he, Nebuchadnezzar, may go up from us and not remain besieging us? So it was counterintuitive. They had been told over and again in the Psalms that they sang regularly. Jeremiah has already evinced himself to be a student of the Psalms in much of his prophecies up to this point. They have been told, haven't they, how to rely upon the Lord, to recall his mighty works, and to take courage in them. But Jeremiah is telling them something here that is indeed counterintuitive. And yet he speaks the truth to them. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, the truth is going to be counterintuitive to us. We must rest upon the word of the Lord. All right, so then the prophecy comes, and that's verses 4 through 8. And Jeremiah doesn't mince his words. He says, I'm going to turn back weapons, all right, the Lord says. I'm going to turn back your weapons. Your weapons will be turned back against you. Nebuchadnezzar will indeed come and fight against you. And the Lord says, I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand, with a strong arm, even in anger and in fury and in great wrath. So they're not hearing what they wanted to hear. They're hearing the truth instead. So that takes us down through verse 7. And it is in verse 7, that's a lengthy verse there, that's where Zedekiah, his servants, and the people that side with him shall be taken out, and they shall be put to the edge of the sword. All right, so then in verse 8, the Lord gives Jeremiah a word to the righteous remnant, to those who are ready to hear the word of the Lord. Listen to what he says. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Now, this is very important. Okay? When Jeremiah says the way of life and the way of death, how many of you thought of Moses there? I set before you this day the way of life and the way of death. Choose life, therefore, that you and your seed may live. Do you remember that? Where was that spoken? That was in Deuteronomy, right? At the end of chapter 32, at the end of that place where the Lord said, when you go into the land and inhabit it, here's what's going to happen. You're going to commit idolatry. And when you commit idolatry, the Lord will stir up a people and you will be thrown out of that land that you thought to possess. Notice what Jeremiah does. He hearkens back to the days of Moses when the covenant was cut with them. And says, you've broken covenant with the Lord your God. You have chosen up to this point the way of death. Now notice, this is a species of the covenant of grace because Jeremiah still holds out to them the way of life. In a covenant of grace, you don't get a, in a covenant of works, you don't get a second chance. There's no second chance. You break the covenant, you die. Jeremiah here stands and in that same Mosaic prophetic fashion holds out the way of life to them. But the way of life is going to be counterintuitive to them. What's the way of life? Listen to what he says. He that abideth in the city shall die by the sword, but he that falleth to the Chaldeans that besiege you, he shall live, and he shall be unto him, his life shall be unto him for a prey. And here's what Jeremiah means by that, okay? If you abide in this city from this day forward, you will end up dying by the sword. But if you go out of the city and surrender yourselves today, and shortly to the king of Babylon, you will live. You'll be taken away to Babylon, and there what you will be counseled to do is to pray for the peace of the city, to marry and to give in marriage and to raise children and to buy and to sell until the Lord bring you home. Now that was a counterintuitive word, but that was the word of the Lord. And if they remained in the city, then they were going to die. And so Jeremiah, in bringing up Moses here, tells them, I know this is counterintuitive, but this is exactly what was prophesied in the days of Moses. We still have a way of life, but it cannot be here. It is in keeping with what Moses spoke to you back in Deuteronomy. So that's a very important principle that I think is often missed by the commentators in this passage. All right, then verse 10, I have set my face against this city for evil and not for good, saith the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. All right, so then one more word to Zedekiah and his house. Notice that Zedekiah, and this is the first time we've heard of him, we're going to hear more about him as we read through the prophecy. And what we're going to find out about Zedekiah is that he had this secret but carnal longing to listen to Jeremiah, but never had the execution to do what he was told. Several times he will go to Jeremiah in private and he'll tell Jeremiah, tell me, preacher, what is the word of the Lord? And the preacher will tell him. And then he'll go his way and do exactly the opposite. Okay, so notice this warning to the house of David. And notice that he hearkens back to the house of David. Zedekiah is of that line, of that house. Do justice. Deliver him that is spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go out like fire. Now, why this prophecy and why now? I think that historically we understand what's going on here. It becomes very clear. What happens when you're being besieged? What is the temptation of those who are in charge when you're being besieged? To oppress. To take your own people and to exact from them, to squeeze and to wring out of them everything that you can. To oppress them even more for your own interest. Well, you know, I'm the king. I have to live. I have to live. My house, it has to go forward. So you begin to oppress. Taxes go up. Exaction goes up. everything starts coming into the king's coffers so that the king can live and others not. This is the temptation during a siege. What is he being told? Do justice. Deliver those who are oppressed. Don't oppress in such a time as this. Deliver them out of the hand of the oppressor, lest my fury go out like fire and none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. And then verse 13, behold, I am against thee, O inhabitant of the valley, and the rock of the plain, saith the Lord, which say, who shall come down against us, or who shall enter into our habitations? Your faithlessness, your denial of the judgment, it puts you like a rock in the valley. You're like an inanimate, unthinking object. If you were thinking correctly, Jeremiah says, or the Lord says through Jeremiah, you would indeed reckon that the judgment is coming, and rightly so. And you would repent and behave yourselves accordingly. Instead, you say, what? Tell us whether or not the hand of the Lord is going to be mighty in our favor right about now. Right? Okay, well, that's the end of the chapter. Verse 14, then, I will punish you according to the fruit of your doings, and I will kindle a fire in the forest thereof that shall devour all things round about it. Well, let's stand and continue praising God.